Next to another best of list, the best movies of the year that we should have seen but probably didn't. To help us with this year-end list, we've called on Boston Globe film critic Wesley Morris. Wesley, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. I have to be honest. I haven't seen any of these movies.
It's okay. You're one of millions of people who didn't manage to see any of these movies.
And is there any through line among the movies that you say we should have seen and didn't? Is there anything that connects them?
Well, what's interesting is, as I was compiling the list, I did notice that in at least four of them, they're about people of color in some way. And in the case of one film, I think it really does exemplify how you can get different people of different races in the same movie and not have it be Crash. I'm one of the people who kind of find that movie a nightmare to sit through.
Okay. Well, that's another story for another day. So is this movie, let's talk about that. Is that Mother and Child?
Mother and Child, yeah.
Okay. So tell us about that. It stars Annette Bening, Naomi Watts, Kerry Washington, and Samuel L. Jackson. Tell us about the film and why is it on your list of one of the best movies we should have seen and didn't?
Well, I think one of the sort of subtextual reasons is that it tells this story of three women who are in different areas of maternity. One woman had to give her child up for adoption. That woman's played by Annette Bening. Another woman just has no interest in having a child. She's played by Naomi Watts. And there's a third woman who wants to adopt a baby with her husband, played by Kerry Washington. And there's a bit of a twist at the end of this movie. It was written and directed by Rodrigo Garcia. And it's just very smart. Some of the best acting I've seen in a movie all year. Annette Bening, who is probably going to win an Oscar for The Kids Are All Right, I think is probably a little bit better in this film because she's not afraid to be abrasive and she's not afraid to be prickly and she's not afraid to be unlikable. And that's, in this day and age, a very brave thing for an actress to be willing to do and again.
Well, speaking of brave, there's also an interracial relationship in here that would have been very controversial years ago.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm wondering if perhaps in a way it still is. Samuel L. Jackson plays a character called Paul, and Elizabeth works for him. Okay. And they actually get involved. And so I'll just play a short scene from how that whole thing gets started. Here it is.
What keeps you here so late?
Snyder and Lebetsky.
Oh, not easy clients.
They're downright difficult, but they'll be happy with that. How about you? Time for Betty Bye?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, I could invite you over for a drink, unless you think that's inappropriate. We'll take your car.
Well, there it is. So,
you
do have to wonder, well, I don't know. I mean, in these days, is that the kind of thing that would say to an audience, I don't think so.
Maybe, because I think that, you know, there's two salesmanship problems with this relationship in this film. The principal one is that Samuel L. Jackson, to his own detriment, has angled himself away from being a sexual actor. So that when he is in a position of being just a normal guy with a normal libido, it's kind of alarming. And he is very moving in this movie by not doing very much. He's surprised by how sexual Naomi Watts' character is. And this is very interesting, that relationship, because A, you couldn't imagine it happening 30 years ago or 40 years ago, and it still seems a little charged today.
Okay. The next film is Machete, and it stars Danny Trejo, Michelle Rodriguez, Jessica Alba, Don Johnson, Steven Seagal, and Robert De Niro. I'll play a short clip and then you can tell us about it and tell us why you selected it for your list.
They called him Machete.
Have you ever killed anyone before?
As you know, illegal Americans are being forced out of our country at an alarming rate for the good of both our people. The senator must die.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse.
Make no mistake, we are at war. Every time an illegal dances across our border, it is an act of aggression against this sovereign state, an overt act of terrorism.
Now, I have to say, just from the trailer, it sounds pretty terrible. So tell me why you think this was... Tell me why the trailer did not perhaps represent...
Well, here's the thing. I like blaxploitation movies. Robert Rodriguez takes basically a blaxploitation movie and adds like a Chicano seasoning to it. He understands the schlock of the genre, but he also understands the political import. And he's made a basically an immigration allegory slash action film slash sort of, you know, soft core porn thing.
That's a lot of slashes comedy. There. Maybe that's
why, a lot of slashes. And you get enough slashes and it just becomes something completely unto itself. And it works as camp. It works as kitsch. It's very funny. But it makes a very interesting point about immigration, and it tells it from both sides of that problem.
All right, well, now I'm intrigued. Now, the final film that you recommended to us is called Greenberg, and it stars Ben Stiller as Roger Greenberg and Greta Gerwig as Florence Marr. Now, a lot of people, these last couple of days of the holiday season, many people will have been seeing Ben Stiller in Little Fockers, which has, despite getting terrible reviews, is doing very well at the box office, and you're saying that this one actually deserves a look. Tell us. Well, I'll play a short clip, and you can tell us about it.
The thing about you kids is you're all kind of insensitive. I'm glad I grew up when I did, because your parents were too perfect at parenting. All that baby Mozart and Dan Zane songs. You're so sincere and interested in things. There's a confidence in you guys that's horrifying. You're all ADD and carpal tunnel. You wouldn't know agoraphobia if a bitch in the ass, and it makes you mean. You know, you say things to someone like me who's older and smarter with this life air. I'm freaked out by you kids. Hope I die before I end up meeting one of you in a job interview.
Is this a serious film or is this funny? Was he being serious? Is he being a jerk?
It's kind of both. I mean, it's about a guy with, I would say he's probably severely depressed. And he moves back to Los Angeles after having ruined a bunch of relationships. He moves into his brother's house for a couple of weeks while his brother's away and takes care of the dog, finds that he likes this woman who is the nanny, basically. And that scene there is what I would say is one of the best scenes in any movie I saw last year, where he goes to this party and meets these, you know, his niece's friends, and they're all upper-middle-class kids in Los Angeles. And you get the sense from the scene that they know something terrible is going to happen and they just have decided to stop caring. They've decided to stop living their lives. They're just sort of living in this sort of bourgeois squalor. It was one of the first movies I've seen, you know, the first movie for me actually that made me feel old.
So why do you think it's worth a look?
I just think it's really smart. And I think the thing that it says about this generational shift has not really been captured in a movie before. I mean, it reminded me a lot of The Graduate, where you had this one generation of adults being mystified by a different generation of adults.
Well, you've intrigued us, and if there are people who are still snowed in, these are some things to consider. Wesley Morris is a film critic for the Boston Globe, and he joined us from Boston. Wesley, thank you so much for joining us, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Michelle. Happy New Year to you.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bracton Booker, Bridget DeShagas, Grant Clark, Monica Evstatieva, Lee Hill, Sanaz Meshkinpour, Veronica Miller, Emily Oxenschlager, and Amy Ta. Our editor is Kyle McKinnon. He had a hand this week from Louise Clemens. Our director is Arjun Hutchins. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. She had a hand this week from Neil Tevold. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. And remember, to tell us more, you can always go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also friend me on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just look for Tell Me More NPR. One more thing, we bid goodbye today to producer Zeeshan Jiwani, who's been a font of ideas and productivity. He's moving on to another love, helping to educate young people. We hope we'll see him again, though. I'm Michelle Martin. You've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.